I want to talk to us tonight about this theme that with God, nothing is impossible, or as Mary said, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Let's look in Luke chapter 1, and let's take a look here at verse 34. Of course, the angel comes to Mary and announces to her that she's going to have a child. Mary is not married. She's never even behaved like a married person. And so this is something that is not very possible, humanly speaking, to have a child when you haven't had a spouse. And in verse 34, Mary says to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God," the angel says, "nothing shall be impossible." And then in verse 38, Mary says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word," and the angel departed. Let's pray. Lord, use these thoughts tonight to challenge our hearts in this holiday season to believe you, to be reminded that we can believe you for that which seems impossible. You've given us promises. You've given us needs in our lives that need to be met. Help us to realize that no matter what it is, you are able to do it. And help us to continue to hold on to that until it happens. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at three examples tonight that demonstrate to us that God is able to do the impossible. Three examples. Number one, letter A, the creation of the universe. The creation of the universe as an example that God can do the impossible. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Here you have Jeremiah, and he makes this comment in verse 17. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee." What was he talking about here? Jeremiah had recently been thrown into a pit. The Bible tells us that during his ministry, nobody listened to him. Everything that he said was negative. He was calling on them to realize God was judging them. They were going to be judged. They were going to be thrown into captivity. And in fact, he said, "Go ahead and just give yourselves over to captivity, because that's what God wants at this time. You have to go into captivity." And the Israelites said, "What is this? You can't just tell us to turn ourselves over into captivity." And they resisted the idea. And they actually charged Jeremiah with treason and undermining the nation. And so they threw him into a pit. And I forget the actual description, but he was waist deep or something like this in mucky mire down in this pit. They were hardly feeding him anything, and there was no way to get out. And they brought him out when the city was surrounded by the enemy, the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar and his forces. And Jeremiah followed God's instructions in his life and bought some property. You wouldn't think that buying property, buying a stake in real estate, was the best thing to do when hours from that moment, the very thing that God said he was going to do, and you happen to be the only person that believes that this would actually happen, and so you know this is going to happen, you're going to be thrown into imprisonment as a nation. Jeremiah goes out and buys a plot of ground. And he declares, the Bible says that he writes it on the deed, he makes a transfer of title, he puts it in the record books, everything is official, he pays the money, and he says, "This land is going to produce fruit, this land is going to have houses, this land is going to be a wonderful place when we come back from captivity." Jeremiah didn't just believe that Israel was going to be thrown into captivity. He believed that Israel also was going to be delivered out of captivity. He saw the full picture. He knew why they were going to be judged, and we don't have time to talk about all that tonight. That's not the point. But Jeremiah had this belief that he was going to buy this property, and 70 years later, it was going to be used by the nation of Israel. And remember, here he was standing, and in the city, you look out the walls, and thousands and thousands and thousands of Babylonian troops were surrounding the city, and they were going to be coming in any hour. This was a crazy situation. This did not make sense. And what did Jeremiah say? As everyone was looking at him like he was crazy, he said, "Ah, Lord God, you made the heavens and the earth. There's nothing too hard for you. You will deliver us." This example of God making the heavens and the earth shows us God is able to do the impossible. God can take absolutely nothing and make something gigantic. God can take something that does not exist and use it to make something that is intricate and complex to the degree that thousands of scientists through the centuries have never begun to scratch the surface. I read an interesting piece today in the news that, or watched a little video clip, that our American nation has developed laser technology to the point where we actually have on one of our battleships, we have a laser gun, and for miles it can shoot a burst of energy that is nothing more than compressed energy, and it can actually have the effect of a missile to a certain degree and cause damage on an airplane or some floating vessel in the water. And it only costs several cents to fire this burst of energy. And it's not like a regular missile where you run out of ammunition. As long as you have enough power to control the energy, you have a power source that's reliable, you can shoot as many times as you want. Isn't that cool? That's really neat. And we should be able to develop that further to the point where it can be as powerful and effective as an actual missile. That's really neat, isn't it? I think that's very fascinating. It's taken us how many years to figure that out? Yeah, we figured it out. Now we figured out how to figure it out, right? Science fiction is not figuring things out. It's just making stuff up that might be figured out someday. That's fascinating, but think about all the things out there that still remain to be discovered. We only know a fraction. In fact, we don't even know some things that we used to know in the past. No one has yet to be able to satisfactorily explain how tons of rock were lifted up to the top of Machu Picchu in South America in Peru. Stone that we can geographically prove was from hundreds of miles down in the valley were lifted up to the top of a mountain and set strategically, several of these huge tons of pieces of stone placed there. How did that happen? We can't even do that today. Did they put it on some kind of a flotation device? Did they airlift it with some kind of a hot air balloon device? Or what did they do? We don't know. We actually know less than we used to know. Isn't that encouraging in some ways? Right? We're trying to take things that God has made and just try to figure them out. God started with nothing and made everything. It's not just that God made something out of nothing. He made absolutely everything out of nothing. And that's a lot of stuff. So the first example, the creation of the universe, demonstrates that with God, nothing is too hard. Letter B, the birth of Isaac, Genesis 18 and chapter 14. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14 is another example of being faced with the fact that God can do anything that he wants. The question is asked here, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, God says, I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You know the story. God promised to an old man, Abraham, and to his old wife, Sarah, that they would have a nation. That out of their own DNA, their own genetics, their own offspring, would come somebody who would produce children, who would produce an entire nation that would have so many people in it you couldn't even count them. That being the case, consider that the first time God gave that promise, Abraham was 75 years old. Genesis 12, verses 2 through 4 show us this. His wife Sarah was 10 years younger. She was 65 years old. If you're 75 years old as a man, and your wife is 65 years old, and God tells you you're going to have a child, when do you think that child's going to come? It's already a little bit hard to believe. But your faith is fresh. When do you think this child's going to be born? What do you think? Soon? Quite soon? Or we're running out of time? Good news, Lord. We're getting close here. It must be happening pretty soon. And you give it some time. You give it enough time to take up 10 years. And the only thing you have happening is God repeating the promise. Telling Abraham 10 years later, how long has 10 years been for you? Think about what your life was like 10 years ago. Where were you at? Brother Josh, you were probably in junior high, right? Where were you at, Angela? You were having your hip surgery. Lily, were you in New York City yet 10 years ago? Did you know the Burns yet? No, okay. Were you at Faith yet? Okay, you were in Brooklyn. What was I at 10 years ago? I was just graduating from undergrad. I was finishing up my last semester. That's crazy. Brother George, what were you doing 10 years ago? How many things have happened between then and now? In our lifetimes, 10 years is a lot of time. If God put on your heart he's going to do something and it doesn't happen for 10 years, is that a long time? It is a long time. And it wasn't just a long time for Sarah and Abraham. They were now 85 and 75 years respectively. Do you think their faith was getting stronger or weaker? Weaker. We know that, in fact, because after Genesis 15, we find that Abraham and his wife concoct a plan to help God out, to make this thing happen. And so they actually find a way for him to have a baby with his wife's servant, which wasn't a novel idea. This was very common, culturally speaking, in the pagan culture. They would do this. This was very normal. Go have a servant, have the servant have a baby, and that was just all part of the way things went. But not for a Christian, not for a Jehovah follower. That's not the way things should have gone. But he tried to help God out. It wasn't until Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old that God confirmed it again. Waiting 25 years. Brother Bustamante, Josh, how old are you? 16? Is that a long time? Feels like it, right? How much longer till you're 25 years old? 9 years. Over half the amount of time you've been alive already, right? Imagine God gave you a promise the day you were born and you actually remembered him saying it to you. And you're still waiting for it and you have to wait 9 more years. Is that a long time? Anyone here waiting on God for something? Are you willing to wait 25 years? That's what God put Abraham through, to the point where it wasn't just waiting. He was now 100 years old, and his wife was 90 years old. I don't think having a baby was scientifically reasonable. And God confirmed it again. And what happened? She had a son. The natural way. I do know enough to know about how things work. Abraham and Sarah did exercise faith. Babies don't just happen. They exercised faith. And the Bible actually tells us Abraham had faith. But it wasn't easy. Going back to what we see in Genesis 18:14, the angel, the Lord says to Abraham, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And she did. Don't try to help God out, right? Keep waiting. Let her see. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ reminds us that nothing is too hard for God. What does the angel tell Mary? And in other places we see Mary actually saying this. With God, nothing shall be impossible or impossible. Mary understood the difficulty of the situation when the angel came to her and said, "You're going to have a child." She was engaged to be married. She was a very, very, very good lady. She had never acted like she was married in any way. She was a virgin. God said, "You're going to have a baby." And what does she say? Something very reasonable. Verse 34 in Luke 1. How is this going to happen? Because I've never had a relationship with a man. Can you explain this to me? Not trying to act like I'm not believing you. I do have faith, Lord. I just have this nagging question. How is this supposed to happen? I'd like to know. Curious. And God explains, God had a plan. The fact is, at least Abraham and Sarah were married. At least they had a spouse. And it was still hard. Mary didn't have a spouse. And God said, "I can do this." Let's make some observations. Three observations that we need to make based upon these statements that nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Here are three observations. Letter A, God is able to make something out of nothing. God is, he still is, by the way, able to make something out of nothing. To understand how Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 32, having been brought up out of this pit and buying this plot of ground before it was taken away by the Babylonians, to understand how Jeremiah used the fact of creation to encourage his faith in that real estate deal, you need to understand an important Hebrew conception of God. You see, the Hebrew conception of God, in one way, was this, that creation serves as one irrefutable, majestic example of how God is able to bring order out of chaos. This indeed is what the Hebrews view God as doing all throughout the Old Testament. They view him as taking chaos, whether it's chaos in world events, chaos in their personal lives, chaos in the universe in general, chaos in the spiritual world, chaos in any way. They believe that God is able to take chaos and turn it into order. And God does this from the very beginning, doesn't he? He creates a swirling mass of matter, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit brooded on all of that, and he brought it into order. He fashioned it into an enormous, complex, beautiful, orderly universe, brimming with life of all kinds. God, in the Hebrew view, is able to bring order out of any sort of chaos. He's been doing this from the beginning. He didn't just make matter. He ordered it, and he fashioned it. One commentator says this, whether chaos was viewed as monsters that needed to be subdued or the formless void that needed to be filled and made functional, the role of deity as creator brought order to the cosmos. On a day-to-day basis, this role was accomplished in society by establishing justice. As the future unfolds, this is a key statement I want you to get. As the future unfolds under his guidance, meaning and purpose are brought to what often appears to be random and jumbled sequences of events. Does international and national news appear to be a jumbled mess of tangled stories, unraveling from bad to worse with no end in sight? Do you ever get that feeling? When you're involved in literature class or English and composition class, You're taught that when you write, your writing needs to have a purpose. Your ideas need to be organized, and you need to have a flow of thought. You need to have a beginning to your paragraph and restate that at the end and have a conclusion and develop the supporting material in between. If you're writing an essay, all the paragraphs need to build together. If it's a book, all the chapters need to build together in a meaningful way. But if you pick up the newspaper or go to an online news site, there's no order. It's just a jumbled mess of things seeming to go from bad to worse. Is it that way in your own personal life, financially, relationally, physically, and emotionally? Do things seem to be growing more and more complicated? Hold firmly to the fact that God is able to do what seems impossible. He is able to make something out of nothing. He is able to bring order out of any sort of chaos, whether it be the chaos of world events or the chaos of your own personal affairs right now. It may look like things are getting out of control, but God is actually going to bring order out of that chaos. He can do what looks impossible. Someday you're going to stand back and you're going to look at what happened in this world and you're going to say, now that makes a lot of sense. Now I see why all those things happened. Now I see why that war occurred and why that treaty was struck and why that crime was committed now, why that decision was made. It all makes sense now. God is going to take all of that. If you had seen creation when it got started, you would have seen a whole bunch of stuff created out of nothing swirling around. And you would have said, what is this? But it didn't take God long to step in and fashion it into something meaningful. And he went even farther, right? He took the dirt on the ground and he fashioned it into a human being. How many of you would look at dirt and see a human being made in God's image? God did, and he made it happen. Are you willing to wait until God does that? He's going to bring order out of the chaos of this world, and he's going to bring order out of the chaos of your life. And that's what Jeremiah was finding comfort in. He was watching as the Babylonians were about to overtake. He was watching as everyone was misunderstanding him. He was watching life as he himself was dripping with the mud and the gunk from that pit he had just been pulled up from, and rubbing the sores under his arms from those ropes, so those rags had been tied around him, and then looking at the ink stains on his hand as he wrote out, with all that going on, wrote out that real estate deed, and everyone thought he was crazy. He said, oh, his hair was probably all messed up, and he probably stunk because he hadn't had a bath in a long time. And this poor wretch of a man was saying, oh, Lord God, is anything too hard for you? You made the heavens and the earth, and I feel like a fool right now, but you're going to bring order out of this chaos. Letter B. Not only is God able to make something out of absolutely nothing, God is able to do anything that he has promised. God is able to do anything that he has actually promised to do. Remember, God promised a child to Abraham when Abraham was 75 years old and Sarah was 65. He stalled fulfilling that promise for 25 years, right? What did he say? I will return to you. And in a certain way, he made the promise and he went away. He stepped in, he gave a promise, and then he stepped out. And then he stepped in a couple more times to remind Abraham of the promise, but he intended to do nothing more about it for 25 years. And of course, Abraham took matters into his own hands. He stepped in and tried to seize the moment and make it happen and manipulate. But God was faithful to his promise, even though Abraham appeared to mess it up. God said, you're going to keep waiting, but I'm still going to do it. What promises in the Word of God seem to be contrary to your experience right now? You've claimed the promise and things seem to get worse. You've prayed the prayer and things seem to get more difficult. You've taken the step of faith and things seem to fall apart even more. I've mentioned this before, but I remember putting our house up for sale to move here. And I already knew that it was worth less than what I needed to get out of it. But I took that step. And then I got a doorbell ring from my backyard neighbor who sold a house twice the size and a lot twice the size for less money than my house was worth. And I had to get more money than it was worth out of it. That's ridiculous. You don't sell houses like that. It doesn't make numerical sense. It doesn't make financial sense. It doesn't make real estate sense. But I had this confidence, as shaky as it was humanly, in the emotions that God wanted us here, and I put the house up for sale. And it sold in 1 week, cash, with no inspections requested. That's a miracle. God is able to work miracles and do what doesn't make sense. I remember one time as a college student, it was my first summer after Bible college, and I was a student. I was 19, 20 years old, something like that, and I had 11 or 12 college students signed up on a piece of paper saying they were going to go with me to South Africa on a missions trip. I had never been there. They had never been there. I had never been out of the country, and I was leading this missions trip of 12 students to South Africa. I was learning as I went. They all signed the line, and then I had to get tickets. Altogether, we owed this ticket agency, travel agency, $13,000. We had enough money for a couple of tickets, and we still owed about $13,000 for the rest. And I didn't have $13,000. I only had money for my school bill for the next couple semesters. That's all I had, and that's what that money was for. And so we were getting this thing going, and then it came down to the day that I had to finalize these tickets, and I only had a couple tickets paid for. I took the step of faith, and I confirmed the tickets, and now on my own personal name, I owed $13,000 that all these other college student friends were supposed to help me make up. And it wasn't until after I put that step down that the money started coming, and I started getting text messages and phone calls and emails. Oh, this got paid. Oh, my church provided this. One problem, though. I still didn't have money for my ticket. I had 1 week during spring break, just a month and a half before the trip. I was in charge of this trip, and I didn't have money for my ticket. I went to Pennsylvania with my family on a vacation just for that week. We visited a couple of churches and last minute asked them if I could present my mission work. Three churches said yes. They were quite small churches. One of them said, yes, you can, but we can't give you any money, just so you realize that up front. I said, that's fine. So one of them I already knew wasn't going to give me any money. I presented the missions trip to them. And out of that 1 week of vacation and those couple presentations, I walked away with enough money to go on that trip. Isn't that amazing? And to make it even more amazing, the church that said they can't give me any money gave me the biggest check. They just got burdened to do it. Out of that missions trip, we were praying that God would send some missionaries to that foreign field. We thought it would be one of us students. It ended up being my parents who went last minute as chaperones. God surprised them and put it on their heart, and it was the last thing on their mind. And today there are souls being saved over there because of those steps of impossibility. God can do what he promises. What are some promises that God has given you regarding relatives being converted? Children serving God. The church taking steps forward in a day of backward movement. Don't lose heart. Keep believing God. When things seem to get worse, keep believing God. We have examples in the Bible that nothing is impossible, even when it gets worse, because God has promised. Hold on to those promises. Letter C, last. God is able to do anything that needs to be done. So God is able to bring something out of nothing. He's able to bring order out of chaos. Number two, he is able to do anything he has promised in his word to you personally. And C, he is able to do anything that needs to be done. Of course, mankind's greatest need is to be delivered from sin and destruction. The only way possible for that to occur would be for God to judge all sin righteously and justly, while at the same time releasing men from the power and penalty of their sin. The only way this could be done was for God to die for the sin himself. Was that possible? Yes. God did the most amazing thing. he became a man and he did it by the virgin birth. An impossibility, but not with God. A lady without a spouse had a child. The child was God. The child did not have a human father, was entirely human, did not have the sin nature passed down to him. That's a miracle. And it had to be done. This, of course, is the miracle of Christmas that we reflect upon this time. But let us remember that this actually was an impossibility. And that fact needs to encourage us in this holiday season that we serve, worship, and celebrate a God of impossibility. If you're living for things that are all possible and you have your hopes set on nothing that is impossible, you haven't got a hold of life. Live for something that's impossible. Believe God for something that he has laid on your heart, he has promised to you, that he's given in his word. Embrace something that is difficult. See the chaos and get excited about it. Do you need to be delivered from bad habits and thought patterns? God can do it. Do you need to be more understanding and patient as a husband? Does that seem impossible? God can do it. How about being a more yielding, supportive wife? God can do that. How about being a more obedient and respectful child? Do you need help with that? God can do that. He can make that happen. Do you need to be a more patient and kind brother or sister? How about a more committed, faith-filled church member? Do you need to be more reliable and productive as an employee? Do you need to be more bold and caring as a witness for the gospel? Listen, if God can provide himself as a human being without sin, without a human father, and by him remove from your eternity the penalty of death and hell, certainly he is able to do anything else that needs to be done. He said, I'm going to heaven, but you can't help me to kick the sin habit. This is just the way I've always been. Look, do you understand the miracle of what he did to save you? If you can understand that, you have to believe that he can do anything else. Because it's not just a little quaint event that happened that we celebrate Christmas for. It was an amazing miracle that should convince us that he can do anything else we need done. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:31-32. Hold firmly to the fact that God is able to do what seems impossible. As you reflect on the manger scene this year at Christmas time, as you give and get gifts, realize that there are gifts waiting for you, gifts of impossibility that are verified by that baby virgin born in the manger. God is able. Don't be unbelieving.